May the words that are spoken and the words that are heard be thine and not mine. Amen. Please have a seat. Well, good morning. It's good to be with y'all again. This Sunday, we find Jesus being questioned by the Pharisees on which commandment is the greatest. His answer is so familiar that we can probably recite it from memory. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your mind. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Because it's so familiar to us, it's one of those verses that can feel comfortable to us. As I was working on this sermon, I was struck by the number of references in the Bible to love. The word love actually appears 538 times in the Bible. So it's kind of hard not to find a place where it's used at least once. However, in this passage, Jesus is not calling us to a cuddly, warm kind of love. He's calling us to a kind of love that is difficult, a love that asks us to put down our own perceived notions of the other. I wonder if being called to this kind of love is one of the reasons that the Pharisees react so strongly to him, and it was so hard for them to fathom what he just said. Jesus is actually calling us to a love that makes us push beyond our comfort zones and face all of our fears of connection. He wants us to face each other and actually see each other, warts and all. Glennon Doyle Melton, a popular blogger and author, has a wonderful quote about the fear that we have to step outside of ourselves and fully see the other. She writes, "When we get close to each other, we stop being afraid. It's just the way of things. Fear cannot survive proximity." When Jesus tells the Pharisees to love your neighbor as yourself, the possibility of being in proximity to the quote-unquote unclean, the tax collectors, the fallen women, the poor, the sick, truly shakes the Pharisees. As we see further in the gospel passage, the Pharisees don't issue their usual quick retort to Jesus. They hurriedly gather together and begin discussing what Jesus said. I wonder if it went a little something like, "Is he kidding? He is really on something if he thinks I'm going to associate with those people." They seem to suggest that they do not have to dignify what he had to say with an answer. But actually, that's the point. Jesus has called them and us not only to love and see the other person, but he's also implying that loving our neighbor means dignifying them, giving them the same sense of dignity that we would give ourselves and those close to us. It means finding them worthy to love. I've been honored to be a part of baptisms over the past two Sundays, both here and at my home church, St. Mark's. Everybody loves a baptism. Paschal candle is lit, the colors change to white, and we promise to help the newly baptized walk through their faith journey together as a community. Most of all, we renew our baptismal covenant. But if you look at the last two promises the congregation makes as we recite the covenant, they speak straight to the heart of Jesus' call for us to practice this sticky and difficult love. Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? I will, with God's help. Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? I will, with God's help. It's no accident that these promises are placed in the covenant. They're a vital part of what we're called to in the Christian life. Martin Luther King Jr. touches on this in his famous letter from the Birmingham City Jail. If you haven't read it, I highly encourage you to. It's really great. In a passage from this letter, he's writing about the early church and how it shaped society around it. He refers to it as, quote, "not merely a thermometer that recorded the ideas and principles of popular opinion. It was a thermostat that transformed the mores of society. That's a powerful but simple image, and that's a question that we must answer. If we were to think about our own inner thermostats, are they changing? Has what's happened in our world or to ourselves personally and in our lives left us warmer for our fellow person, helping us to see them as worthy of dignity? Or is it getting colder, seeing us stepping further into our own safety and pulling the wool over our own eyes? We can either reflect what we see in the world, or we can strive to do our part to love our neighbors as ourselves and change our proximity to otherness and overcome fear. How do we do this? Well, that answer is actually simple. God will give us the grace, and we will do it with God's help. Amen.